everybody. Welcome to the Tiki Bar. That was surf guitarist Susan Surftone with a song called Start Again. It's the opening track off of her new CD, Too Far. Susan is here in the Hudson Studios. She's just returned, or I should say moved here from her previous home in Portland, Oregon. And we're also joined by Shauna Steele, who is Susan's go-go dancer. Also a model, an actress, runs a small business. Susan, Shauna, welcome to the Tiki Bar.
Good to be here.
Great to have you here. So, Susan, you're probably tired of giving this narrative because I know you've given it many times before. But for those who may not be familiar, and I know we do have some new listeners out there, do you want to maybe just talk a little bit about growing up here in Hudson, and then you had an interesting career after college, and then how you became a musician, and why don't we start there?
Okay. I grew up in Hudson in the early 60s. I graduated Hudson High in 1972, so you can figure out how old I am, do the math. And Hudson was a different town. There wasn't much going on, and pretty much everybody aspired to get out. I know the natives are going to be mad at me, but it's the truth. And I started taking guitar lessons, and I think I was 9, right after the Beatles came over and played on the Ed Sullivan Show. I was very taken with the whole thing. I had been an Elvis fan before that because my mother took me to see Jailhouse Rock when I was 3 years old, and it was all over after that. I knew what I wanted to do. I got a tennis racket, flipped my collar up, and played on a tennis racket until finally, after I saw the Beatles, I had to get guitar lessons. So I took guitar lessons right over here on, right over down the block, Warren and 7th. There was a store called Osborne's Music Store. I had a very good teacher who didn't hold it against me that I was a girl and I could play. And he taught me well. And then it kind of got put on the back burner. I never lost my interest in music. I went to law school. I went to Smith College, and I went to Boston University Law School. After I got out of law school, I went to work for the FBI as a special agent. It was not what I wanted to do with my life. I was really drawn to music. And after John Lennon was murdered, I really felt that I had to think about things. And I really felt that I wanted to do music. So I set out to put a band together. The FBI wasn't real pleased with that because it meant I would have to play in scary clubs like CBGB's and Great Gildersleeves. I don't know how many of you remember that one down in New York City, but I played there often. And they asked me to make my choice, and I did. I chose music. And off I went. I had a number of bands in New York City with vocalists. I moved to Rochester in, I think it was about 1990. And after some more bands with vocalists, I decided to do one that had just me on guitar. I did want to play music that was surf music and a little bit more, a little garage, a little rock. And my timing was perfect because Pulp Fiction had just come out and there was Miser Lou caught everybody's ear. So there was this interest in instrumental surf. I got signed to a German label, GD Music, out of Hamburg, of all places. That was kind of cool. And they brought me over to Hamburg for some shows after my first release. So I got to run around the Reeper Bahn, just like the Beatles did. That was a lot of fun. And I did 2 tours for them. I did 3 records for GD. Then I did a live record for a small Belgian label. Then I did a record for an Italian label. And then I started doing records in the States for myself. I went to Europe 4 times. That was a lot of fun. Moved to Albany, New York. Met up with some old band members, Brian Goodman. We added Kim 13 on keyboards, and Buck Malin was our bass player there. And we did well. Had a lot of fun in Albany. And then I had the urge to go out west. So I went to Portland, Oregon, put the band together again out there. And we did a couple tours to California. Out there, I hooked up with producer Steve Kravac. And when I was ready to do kind of the solo thing, where I play everything in the studio except drums. Steve plays drums. And the first record done that way was Sure. And it was pretty successful. So we decided to go back in and use the same format and do Too Far, which was recorded in February of this year. And after Sure, we added Shauna as our go-go dancer. Bring a little youth and a little fun to our show, which I think she does. so she puts up with us.
Well, that's a good segue, Shauna. Yeah. Then do you want to pick up and give folks a little bit of your background? I think you're from Tallahassee originally.
Sure. Yes, I'm from Tallahassee. I was born there, and that's where I lived until I was about 22. I went to college there for creative writing, and I realized that wasn't really the track that I wanted. I do enjoy writing to a degree, and I'm a natural writer, but I much more enjoy performing. I love dancing. I started dancing when I was about 16 in high school, and I took dance classes, mainly modern, but some jazz and a little ballet. I kind of stopped dancing for a while, but I missed it a lot. And when I moved to Asheville, North Carolina, when I was about 22, and I lived there for about 4.5 years, and I was looking for dancing gigs of some type. I didn't want to do stripping or anything like that because I had a real dance background. And so I came across a surf band in Asheville that was actually based in California originally, called Voodoo Court. And I don't think they're a band anymore, but they had some success on the West Coast, and they were looking for a dancer. And so I started dancing with them. And unfortunately, they disbanded shortly after I started working with them. But then I decided I wanted to move to the West Coast, and I found another band that, of course, disbanded. And before I even got to do a gig with them this time, and then they referred me to another band called the Surf Weasels, and that's the first gig that I did with them. Susan saw me dancing, and then shortly thereafter, when I was doing another gig with a different band, she told me about the video that she was doing for Rock Candy and asked me if I wanted to be a part of that. And I said, sure. So we've been working together ever since then.
And that's a terrific video. It's on Susan's website, susansurftone.com. So the $64,000 question, I guess, is why Hudson? Why now? How come you decided to make the move back from Portland?
Well, we had visited in October, and when I was on Karen's show. Mm-hmm. And I took a good look at the city, and it's changed. It's changed. And I love its proximity to New York City, and so does Shauna. So we figured it was a good move for us. Just living-wise, there's a lot to do here. It's like I said, it's a new town, and with new things going on. And I can go to Boston. I can go to New York City. I can go a lot of places. I found that Portland was very isolated geographically, and it was a strange city. Mm-hmm. I know everyone from Portland, if you're listening, sorry. But, I apologize, but I found it to be a strange city. How about you, Shauna?
Yes, it was challenging to do what I wanted to do and for Susan to do what she wanted to do because we both are very ambitious people. We have goals to... I want to be on the cover of Vogue one day. Susan wants to be on the cover of Rolling Stone. And that wasn't going to happen in Portland. I mean, there is a scene there, but it's a lot of people who enjoy doing things at a hobbyist level, but it's hard to get them to take something more seriously and actually put in the effort to make something really happen because you do have to work hard to get to the top. And they were much too relaxed to make that happen.
And you are far away. You're 15 hours from L.A.
Yeah.
You don't realize
that
until you're out there and realize that it's 15 hours. You can't do it in a day.
Right.
Well, if you're going to reach for the stars, mm-hmm. New York is the place to be. So best of luck.
Yeah.
Susan, I guess I want to then follow up with the so do you have like a sort of a group of musicians like in Troy or Albany still who will comprise? I know you've talked about in the past, like you sort of have an East Coast group of players that you play with, and some mm-hmm. folks have been with you for a while. And you want to talk about that in terms of what your plans are in terms of getting a group back together here?
Well, I'll probably be looking for a rhythm section, a drummer, and a bass player. I know Kim 13 is going to join us on keyboards, and Kim is, she's, out of all the surf tones, I think she is the most popular.
And she's been with you for a while.
Kim, everybody loves Kim. She's I love working with her, and she's a great keyboard player, and I'm really looking forward to getting back and working with her again.
It's interesting, I think, in that your maybe you can talk a little bit about the difference between your studio work, which is, as you indicated, you play guitar, you play bass, you play keyboards,
I think, as well.
And Steve Kravac is doing drums. So it's all you on the record. And I guess you have a theremin player as well.
Oh,
Cookie. Maybe tell people what a theremin is, because it's a really
It's cool. that scary thing. if you it is scary, actually. If you've ever seen, you know, the grade B 1950 science fiction movies and thing that goes woo-woo, that's it. That's a theremin. Okay. But it was also on the Beach Boys' Good Vibration, so it's useful.
Mm-hmm.
Cookie is our keyboard player. It's our theremin player out in Portland. And she's great at it. I mean, watch the video. The video, Rock Candy, the video is Shauna and Cookie, really, mm-hmm. to tell you the truth. I'm just kind of in the background. Because they're the most interesting things. Cookie looks like a theremin player. She really does.
Yeah.
And she can really, I've heard a lot of theremin players, believe it or not, but Cookie can really play it. So
maybe say a little bit more about the difference in terms of the dynamic. I mean, obviously, you know, you have a lot of control in the studio doing it all yourself, but what's the, and I guess this really applies to you, Shauna, too, in terms of the vibe, the difference once you're on stage and performing, or actually even probably before performing, rehearsing.
It changes a bit. You know, in the studio, Steve would come up from L.A. to Portland, and we recorded a Jackpot recording, and we'd only, for sure, we had 7 days, and for Too Far, we had 9.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of work in a short amount of time, and I found that with just the two of us, we could get it done, because I'm pretty organized, and I was pretty rehearsed. I write all the original material, except for one song on Too Far, Ponderosa, was written by someone else, and I think I try to keep it so that it can be recreated on stage, and I pick certain songs that I know I'll be doing live, certain songs that I won't be doing live, you know, that, and it's just, the sound changes a bit, but I do try to stay true to the record. I really do.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. I mean, do your players ever, like, say, oh, it might be interesting to try this or something, and so it comes out sounding a little different in performance?
Yeah, I've always been that way with the bands. Even when I started, you know, back in the 90s, people's contributions are welcome. It's not fun if you're not adding something to it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you just tell the bass player, play these notes and that's it, what fun is it?
Sure.
So I never, as long as the song sounds like the song, you know, there's a number of bass lines you can put. You can change the beat a little bit. Like on that song we just heard, Start Again, that would be difficult. You'd kind of have to play that beat to get that song. But where there's leeway, I don't mind if people take it.
And Shauna, so you're basically, I mean, do you participate in rehearsals at all, or you just wait until it's time to perform and then you get out there?
I generally do one rehearsal so that I can get more familiar with the sound of the live music and know how to dance to that. But after that, I just kind of wing it, because the way that I do go-go dancing, I don't like to have a routine. I don't like to have rigid dance moves. I take a more modern approach to it, in that I just feel what I feel in the moment and move in the moment. And I draw a lot of, I get... The energy of the crowd really motivates me to move harder and faster, and I feed off of that energy, and I love that exchange. So I just, for me, it's more about being present in the moment, and I prefer personally, like, doing the live gigs more than the videos, but I mean, they each have their place.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, let's play another track. This one is called Green Light. Is
that's
that what
right.
you decided? Okay. Let me see if I can figure this out. Sorry, folks, I don't usually play CDs, so we'll try that again in a second here. Why don't we go to something I'm a little more familiar with? This is one of the tracks on the album, and this is from the PDX A Go-Go, which I want to ask you guys about. That was your live compilation from Duff's Garage.
Thank you.
And that was Salt Water. That is one of the tracks. It's on Too Far. And I was just asking Susan, because that was actually, that version was from PDX A Go-Go, which was a compilation of, there's two tracks, I guess both of which, the other being Rock Candy, the video that we talked about, that Susan Surftone does on PDX A Go-Go, and then there's four other bands from Portland. There obviously was a little bit of a music scene in Portland, or a surf music scene. What do you hope for Hudson? Because I'm not sure if there is a surf scene here. I don't know about it, but that doesn't mean there isn't one.
Surf scene, garage scene, it's all the same to me. But yeah, in Portland there was there were a handful of bands that were actually pretty good, and they're on that comp. And there's a club there called Duff's Garage, which was very supportive of roots music. John Wallace, the owner, booked a lot of surf bands, and he really helped keep it alive, even like after it had died out during Pulp Fiction and everything. It's because of John that he gave the bands a place to play. So, mm-hmm. You know, you had something to build bands around because you had a place to play.
Okay. Do you envision that you're going to work locally here? You're going to do New York, or do you have sort of plans for where you're going
to
work?
Oh, I hope to work locally. I mean, I've sent Club Helsinki a CD. I hope you've listened to
nudge,
it.
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
And I also sent one down to the Half Moon.
Oh, wow.
Now, there's a story there. When I was a small child, sitting in the back seat of my parents' car, we had gone to the train station, and I drove by the existing Half Moon, the original Half Moon, and there was a band in there playing, and the guys had Stratocasters and gold jackets, and I, of course, got a glimpse through the window, and that was it. And I wanted to play the guitar. That's what I wanted to do. So that solidified all the Elvis stuff that I had seen. So it's very, you know, I have to go play at the Half Moon. So Half Moon, if you're listening, I have to do this. This is a vision quest.
All right. That's, you know, I mean, think about that Half Moon. Cover of Rolling Stone, and she wants to play at your club. So, and I know that. So I've seen a lot of, I haven't actually been in there myself, but everybody seems to be talking about it online these days. Let's see. I think we can play Green Light. Had the monitor turned down in the studio, so let's check out that track. We'll be right back. And that was Green Light from Susan Surftone's new album, Too Far, and that is going to be released on July 9th. You can catch it on iTunes, on CD Baby, and on Susan's website, susansurftone.com. I want to ask you, Susan, about, and Shauna too, because I suspect you may have something to do with this. The cover art is beautiful. These are some really nice photos. First of all, where is the location? There is that somewhere in the Pacific Northwest, it looks like.
It's out in the around the Columbia Gorge.
Columbia Gorge.
Yeah, and those were done by Robbie McLaren. Uh-huh. He's a photojournalist. He's got quite a reputation. Check him out online. He did a photo book called Angry White Men that I think had some notoriety. And he's taken photos for just about every magazine there is. Smith College did a profile on me a few years back in their Alumni Quarterly, and that's how I met Robbie. They hired him to do those photos. And he's done three sessions with me now. I love working with him. He's great. And Shauna, that was your first session with him. What'd you think?
It was really fun. He was very professional, very quick about getting things done. Lighting was done quickly. It was bam, bam, bam. We got the images. We got what we wanted. And the wardrobe was really fun for me because the dress is designed by Project Runway Season 7 winner Seth Aaron. He's from Vancouver, Washington, and I knew Ann Bocci. She has a boutique in Portland, Oregon, and she was selling his runway garments that actually like went down the runway during Portland Fashion Week. And so it was a one-of-a-kind dress, and I was able to buy it, and it worked perfectly. We wanted something really dramatic, something that would tell a story that would grab people's interest.
Yeah, we were going for a Great Gatsby kind of Heathcliff look. I think we got it. That's where the title Green Light came from, actually, because I was a big fan of the book. I always have been, The Great Gatsby. And with the movie coming out, I figured, why not?
Yeah. Well, it's certainly a very different look from Shore, which most of the shots are solo, and you've got your guitar slung over your shoulder. And by the way, was that also in the Pacific Northwest? Because at first I was like, it looked a little like the Hudson, but
that was on Sovi Island, which is outside. It's in the Columbia River, outside of Portland. Yeah, I was going more on Too Far. I was kind of thinking Roxy Music, those old covers, because those were always interesting and fun, and I like those covers a lot. So I kind of had Roxy Music in mind, plus the Gatsby thing, plus Heathcliff, plus all that, and I have a very crowded mind.
Right. And obviously taking advantage of Shauna's photo being photogenic, and I'm just curious
why she got the job.
Yeah, did you? I mean, did you have any? Was this sort of your idea, or whose idea was kind of the look, or did it come from the photographer?
I think it was both of us.
Yeah,
we both started talking about it, and you know, Shauna added a lot of ideas to it, and Robbie went out. We told him what we wanted, and he went out and scouted a location and found it. He understood. Robbie, he's a photographer that listens, you know, and really works with you. He's found the location, and we wanted to keep some water in the shot for that surf thing, but we didn't want it to be real beachy or anything. Yeah. And we thought he found a great location for us. That suit I'm wearing is a replica of Lennon's collarless suit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you look very dapper. Yeah,
and I thought I'd combine it with the Elvis hair for something new.
And you got the what are they, Ray-Bans there going?
Yeah, of course, yes.
Very, very nice. And Too Far, any
significance? Mean a lot of things.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Means whatever you want it to mean.
Okay. You're not going to give me a Dylan-esque or a John Lennon sort of...
No, it can mean a lot of things.
Okay. Too Far from Hudson? Who knows? Let's see. And you... videos in the works, or I mean, you did the Rock Candy, which I guess it sort of had the feel of a live performance. It obviously was a live performance, but also it was staged. Anything more like that, or
yeah, we have the concept for one. Okay. It's kind of a runway thing, combines a little more fashion with music, and I think that it'll be different. It'll be sort of like the cover, but not exactly. But a definite blend of fashion and music from now on.
Okay. And Shauna, if you had an idea, do you have any ideas for videos? Cause
we do. We've talked about it. I don't think we want to give away too much at this point because it's in the very early stages of planning. But it's something that I think people are going to be really interested in seeing. And it's fashion and music have been combined for so long. And I'm really happy that we're doing that because, I mean, I'm a model and I love fashion. And Susan enjoys fashion, so... It's we want to bring class and style back.
So it's sort of an evolving idea, it sounds like. I want to play one song from your back catalog, just because I think it has a lot of significance, or at least the artist has a lot of significance. So I'm going to go ahead and play that. That was Susan and the Surf Tones.
No, that was just Susan.
Oh, that was just Susan. Okay. doing a George Harrison composition, I Need You, off the Beatles' Help. And I wanted to play that because Susan's talked about in the past how much she liked George Harrison. What was it about George, Susan, that you took to?
He played the guitar and he didn't talk much. And that was a lot like me as a kid. And I saw this guy that just played the guitar and didn't, and he didn't smile a lot. Because people always, even when I was a kid, I'd always hear, smile, smile. I just don't smile. And he just seemed a lot like me. And he just stood there and he played guitar. He didn't have to sing too much. And I just, that's who I took to at first in the Beatles. It was definitely George. As I got older, and then I came to appreciate John. And even older, I got to appreciate Paul, and everybody likes Ringo.
Everybody likes Ringo, yeah. And that was from an album that it's fairly recent, and it's called She's a Woman, and it's all covers of Beatles, right?
Yeah, it's all covers of Beatles. This is me working up to shore. This is when I was learning to play the bass. I learned on Beatles songs, just like I learned to play the guitar to Beatles songs. And it was, I would say they're the main influence, actually. It's funny to hear a surf player say the Beatles are the main influence, but they are. And the song started to work. We just, Avery and I worked on them. We had a little home studio, and we just kept putting them together, and we thought they sounded pretty good. And the thing that I would do was put them on and sing to them. So we put out these very limited editions because we thought people would like to buy them and just sing to them because it's kind of fun. Crank the car windows up and just have at it.
Wow, how does one get a hold of one of those? We can probably
ask me.
Sell it on eBay. Speaking of eBay, while the song was playing, I was asking, because Shauna, you have a small business on eBay. You want to tell us about that, or are you going to continue that now that you've moved back east, or back east for you as well?
Sure. Yes, I am going to continue that. I sell clothing on eBay, as secondhand clothing, and the goal is to continue the life cycle of garments because there's so much waste in the clothing industry. So many people just toss garments after having used them a couple times, and so it's my goal to take things that have plenty of life left in them and send them to another home so that they can be used again. So I am continuing that. I've been doing it for a couple years. My goal is to ultimately transition out of that and to focus on my creative endeavors. But I am a very practical person when it comes to money, and I refuse to be a starving artist. And so that's something that I've built it up over the past couple years, and it's a pretty steady income. So I will move out of it as I have less need for it monetarily. But it's great that something that I can always pick back up again if I am in a situation where money isn't coming in as steadily. So it's been really great for me. I went through several different jobs, retail and working with a supplement company and such, and I'm not an office person. I can't do that. And so it's great that it allows me freedom to do other things. And if anybody's interested, it's The Reinvented Wardrobe on eBay. You can look it up. I have over 2,000 items listed right now. So.
And all the clothes are vegan.
Yes, everything I sell is vegan. That's very important to me. I've been vegan over 10 years, and so nothing has any leather, silk, wool, or even down to like mother of pearl buttons I won't sell. So if you're vegan, then feel safe shopping in my store.
Yeah, she turned me on to the wonders of pleather. I actually turned in my, I traded in my leather jacket. It's all pleather now. Yeah. And it's nice, I got
to
tell you.
I was going to say, because it's hard to be like a badass rock guitarist.
You can do it in pleather.
You can do it without a leather jacket. You heard it here on WGXC. Let's see. And I was also asking Susan and Shauna what they've been up to in terms of Hudson. I know unpacking, but doing any exploring of any of the local establishments at this point? You just got here this week, I know.
Yeah. I'm really interested in old architecture. I mean, anything medieval on to 1800s. I actually don't really like much modern architecture. And so I've been really appreciating like the old Dutch architecture and just seeing it revive, seeing the architecture restored and brought back to its original beauty is something that I'm really impressed with. And walking in the antique stores and seeing all the really decorative furniture, and it's little things like that I get really into. So mm-hmm.
Today we walked into the antique store that used to be my great grandmother's fruit store.
Oh.
Yeah.
Which one is that?
What's the name of it?
I don't recall. It has a coffered ceiling. I know that.
Yeah.
It begins with an A. It's over on between 5th and 6th. It's a big one. It's one of the big ones. Yeah, yeah. The name begins with an A.
Definitely a great town if you like architecture, because there's certainly quite a wide variety of it. There's a good blog called The Gossips of Rivertown you should check out, because it comes out daily, and a lot of the discussion is about the architecture.
Oh, cool.
So you might want to check that out. Let's talk a little more, Susan, about how this particular record is different from Shore. In terms of instrumentation, or I think you may introduce some ska into it. Is that right?
Yeah, the first song has a ska influence. I try not to repeat myself. So pretty much the formula is, my music usually, my originals usually have a surf element, a garage element, and then one other element. So like in Green Light, you heard kind of, I think, more of a British Invasion, maybe little early Stones feel. And the cover on this one, What a Shame, is of course an early Stones original. I'd say the music is a little bit harder on this record, maybe a little more edgy. I think it's got maybe more of a garage feel.
Mm-hmm.
I made a CD for myself and just played a track off of Shore, then a track off of this and compared. There's consistency, but there is some difference. Wow. So I'll leave it up to people to decide.
It definitely sounds like it's got that really sort of clean, crisp guitar sound that certainly is what drew me to Shore. Let's play What a Shame, which is actually the last track on it. And you said this is an early Stones
song? It's an early Stones original, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Daisy, I have used it live, and I did use it on the recordings on the PDX comp. So it's they're marketed for girls, but guys buy them too and play them. The thing that I like about it is that if it gets a girl interested in playing, great. You know, if you have a line of guitars marketed towards girls and young girls' parents will buy those guitars for them, that's great for me. Just get guitars in girls' hands. That's all we have to do.
So, yeah. So, in case the mic might have been off there just briefly, Susan was talking about Daisy Rock guitars. And the idea, I guess, is that the neck is a little bit smaller. That's it.
The idea is that I think it's like I said, it's marketed for girls. Some of them have little sparkles on them, not mine. Mike, I said, not have any sparkles.
No sparkles.
And, you know, if it gets girls interested and gets them playing, I think it's the kind of thing maybe some girls' parents might buy for her before they'd buy her a Fender Strat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the important thing, is to get girls playing guitar, get them playing bass.
Was Steve Dallas. Tell us who Steve Dallas was, Susan, for those of us who didn't read the funnies too much.
Those of you that remember the Bloom County cartoon strip, he was the lawyer that became a manager of a heavy metal band called Billy and the Boinkers that Bill the Cat was in. I always loved Steve Dallas because he was not your typical lawyer. And I'm a lawyer, and I was never your typical lawyer. So it just seemed fitting to honor Steve Dallas in some way.
So we were also talking about, while the song was playing, if these guys have done any exploring around town. There's this is a toss out to the rest of you out there in Hudson. There's a request for an all-vegan restaurant. I know we have some that are quasi, but and I'll join the ranks there, being a almost vegan myself. So the album is called Too Far. Susan Surftone is the artist. It's been a delight having you, Susan and Shauna, here on the Tiki Bar. We look forward and hope that it will not be long before we are hearing you again at Club Helsinki, or hearing you at Club Helsinki for the first time. And just thanks for coming on. Thanks for being so supportive, too, on Twitter and social media and everything. You guys did a real great job.
It's our pleasure. Yeah. Thank you for having us.
Yeah. So we're going to... Too Far, again, comes out July 9th, and we're going to do one more track. This one is called Rock Candy, and this is actually from the PDX Agogo compilation, which was the live recording from Dust Garage in Portland. The album that immediately preceded Too Far came out after Shore, I think.
The PDX Agogo comes in between.
And Shauna's on the gracing the cover, doing her go-go thing. So this has been the Tiki Bar. My name is Jim McCabe. We're here every third Sunday of the month from 6 to 8 p.m. Check us out on Facebook, on Twitter, and we'll look forward to seeing you guys in a few weeks. Thanks again for stopping by, Susan and Shauna.
Thank